to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field. That ball is hit well. It's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league homer with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr., at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Rowe does over the middle.
There you go!
Joe McQuinn, right side, to the house. Count it down with me, folks. 10-5, end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, that is big. How about 2-7, patrolling center field like a safety should?
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side of the Rutgers 45 to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by 6 more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocks the shot, and Gretzky in. 3-0 Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. We're at the Superstore. The auto show specials continue. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. Well, big weekend of sports. I guess the the biggest story here, of course, was the game down at the Huntington Center on Saturday night. And you know, I read the stories and kind of got a recap from a couple of people there were there at the game on Saturday night. And I got to tell you that first and foremost, number one, the game has changed. There is no doubt about it. And for the last 10 years, I've been in the OHL, which is a true a development league. You have players there. NHL draft age is 18. You have players in that league 17 to 20 years of age. They're not veteran guys in the ECHL. Now, my 10 years in Windsor, brand new building, great attendance as well in that building, and everybody knows hockey is the fabric of Canada, and this is kind of like their Big Ten. Their SEC is a major junior OHL hockey. It is the feeding ground for the NHL. In my 10 years there in Windsor, we have sent no less than 30-plus players to the National Hockey League in 10 years. And I will tell you, our league right now would not tolerate any of this stuff. For one thing, agents would not send their players to a league where you're going to get a lot of, a lot of stuff like that happened in Toledo on Saturday. Now, don't get me wrong. I still think guys should, drop them, go at it. It's a tough sport. The goaltender fighting, I guess, was pretty entertaining as well, even though I talked to a couple sources today that said, there weren't a lot of punches being thrown, kind of, some pulling and grabbing and shoving. The game has changed. You know, I broadcast in the 80s and even in the 90s, and listen, the game has changed. Speed now, size, skill. Teams still got to have a few tough guys, but as far as, like, you'd see, listen, believe me, I grew up in an era there was a fight every game, every night. So, it has changed and changed for the better. The game, I think, is more entertaining for the most part. I did read, again, the recap and the story by Mark Monroe in the paper who said the place was going absolutely wild. But all I had to look at, one of the great sights in hockey is HockeyDB. And you look at Garrett Klotz and his, his career. Basically at 6'5", 240 pounds, going after A.J. Jinks and then cross-checking him to the ice. And listen, this guy is on the ice for one reason. You're down 5-0 in a hockey game. Frustration, basically sets in. And in this era, where this used to happen all the time. Coaches would send guys out to send a message. Okay, you beat us on the ice by a score of 5-0. We're going to beat you in the alley. It doesn't work that way anymore, mainly because young players, they have too much to risk. believe me, it's a long, long, long way from the ECHL to the National Hockey League. Most of these players in this league now are older, 24, 25, 26, 27 years of age. You know, a lot of the guys that you see in the OHL are 19 and 20. A lot of them are in the National Hockey League at 21. So all I'm saying is I think they nailed it. If you want this league to be a development league, you can't have it. The league's got to make up its mind whether they want to be a development league or if it's put on a show. But the show portion of 6'5", 240-pound guys just chasing guys down and cross-checking them and sucker-punching them, which is the thing that really irritates me. Those days are long gone. And if the coach, this John Scott Dixon, sent him out with the intention of, hey, go stir things up, get things going. Go hit somebody, punch somebody, you know, he should be fined as well. That used to be very common, believe me. Each team at one time used to carry two, three, four, five fighters on a team. Guys that were very, very tough. They were there for one reason, to give the skilled players a lot of room. It doesn't work that way anymore. Players are bigger, stronger, faster. They finish checks. They finish checks, and that's how the toughness side of this this game works. So I expect a long suspension for this guy. I would say for the rest of the year, you probably won't see anything like a, you know, a lifetime ban from the, you know, the ECHL. It was Willie Trognitz all the way back in the 70s for Toledo that got a lifetime ban for breaking a stick over somebody's head. Lifetime ban there. Cross-checking, sucker-punching. I say he's gone for the rest of the year. But all you got to do, a great hockey website, HockeyDB, Hockey Data Base, type in his name, Garrett Klotz, and basically this has been his career. What do you have? A couple of points and 97 penalty minutes as third team this year, no doubt about it. But the good news is the Walleye roll on. They've won 8 straight. They've won 9 straight at home. And, again, this thing that happened Saturday night, I think few and far between, but it's happened to Toledo 2 times, and I'm sure we haven't heard the last of this out of the league office, which I know Brian McKenna, who I used to work with, he is stepping down as a commissioner of the ECHL. I want to say, well, let me see, 2000? I would say almost a 20-year run for Brian McKenna, if not more, running the ECHL. More than that. But, again, the game has changed. The thing I don't like about it is the sucker punching, blindsiding somebody. Toledo had their tough guys out on the ice, from what I understand. I wasn't there. I had a game myself that I was broadcasting on Saturday night, but from people I talked to, that Dan Watson did have his guys out there at the right time. He could see it coming late in the game, 5-0 situation, and out comes, again, Garrett Klotz and the crew, and here we go. But it was so commonplace back in the 70s, 80s, and even into the 90s, it was unbelievable. Few and far between now, which is a good sign. I mean, this was, in some era, this was almost a nightly occasion at the Toledo Sports Arena. And as I heard today from one of my sources, just lucky. I mean, this is not good either, but I remember the day because the seats weren't bolted down in the first 5-6 rows of the sports arena. You would have had, you know, the plain surface with chairs covering the ice. Those days, everybody, long gone. I expect a lengthy suspension. The other thing I enjoyed over the weekend, I mean, I said it before, Pebble Beach and golf underway. You know, you're looking outside in this lousy weather and shoveling snow, and Ted Potter Jr., the wizard, wins it at Pebble Beach. You kind of know that the Masters and spring training for baseball, which gets underway this midweek, you know, we're making the turn here as well. It's 5:15 tonight. We're going to talk some Cleveland sports with David Glazier, News Herald out of Cleveland, some Cavs, a little bit of Browns, then some Michigan sports updates with John Borton. That's coming up tonight at 5:35. We'll have our TAS Electronics updates as well. A lot of things going on at Michigan basketball with a big win over Wisconsin over the weekend, 83-72 in front of 18,000 fans in Madison. Ohio State, the Buckeyes, boy, they are in good shape as the The rankings just came out again. Boy, Buckeyes, what a year. That has really been the story, I think, in the Big Ten, the Ohio State Buckeyes this year. And Michigan hockey, big weekend as well. They're playing pretty well. They won up the Little Caesars Arena. They beat Michigan State University. So, Michigan sports at 5:35. Little Cleveland Cavaliers, Cleveland Browns at again tonight at 5:15. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. My name is Mike Miller, coming to you from the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Auto show specials underway. Great deals. One of my favorites, 2018 Ram 1500 Crew Cab Express 4x4, four-wheel drive. Gotta have it. $136 a month. Back with David Glazier after this. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik.
ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time. A little Zeppelin for you here on a snowy day. Glad to have you on board, everybody. 5:35 tonight. John Borton, the Wolverine.com, will join us. Talk University of Michigan sports, a little basketball, a little hockey. And, of course, a little football as well. And go over the recruiting year. Michigan, by the way, 21st. Rivals ranked them in recruiting. The Ohio State Buckeyes, number two behind number one, Georgia. Haven't talked to this guy in a while. I'm sure it's just as cold in Cleveland. David Glazier joins us. News Herald sports writer, veteran sports writer out of the Cleveland area. And the News Herald joins us. Hello, David. How are you?
Yeah, it's a beautiful day here. Sunny. But, yeah, you're right, cold. We had a lot of snow. But you know what? Pitchers and catchers have their first workout Thursday.
You know what?
So doesn't that make you feel warmer?
It does. And David, I got to tell you, I just talked about in my open here. There, you know, and I traveled a little bit in the weekend broadcasting, but I got to tell you, I hit the DVR and I got home last night after a couple of road trips and some hockey broadcasts in Canada. And I watched the last six or seven holes there from Pebble Beach. And besides baseball coming up on Wednesday, watching a little golf at Pebble Beach really warmed me up over the weekend. I can't wait to get things and the temperatures moving. Hey, a couple of things. Number one, big win for the Cavaliers after their makeover. And, the likes now of Jordan Clarkson and Rodney Hood and George Hill and Larry Nance Jr. in the lineup. Try to answer this question for me. Why all of a sudden, and I very seldom root against anybody or root for anybody. It's just not my mode. But for some reason, over the last month, I've been finding myself rooting against LeBron James. Why is that?
I don't know, because what was happening to the Cavs wasn't his fault. He had a couple of, you know, what for him, by his elevated standards, were substandard games. But, you know, the problem was the mix on that team. The chemistry hasn't been good for the 6 weeks prior to the Thursday's blockbuster trade. But the parts, and I wrote this, Mike, the Cavs were just a team of puzzle pieces that didn't fit together. That being said, you know, they had won 19 of 21 games earlier in the year and still had a decent record. But anybody who'd watched them the last month knew that that wasn't going to work as constituted. And you know what? Right up until the day Thursday, which was trade deadline day, I thought the Cavs, I don't want to say we're going to surrender, but just weren't going to be able to make the kind of moves that I felt they needed to make. And what they did was borderline stunning. An old team that looked old suddenly got very young. They got 25-year-old players. And a 31-year-old player in George Hill who plays like he's much younger. That performance against Boston Sunday, I mean, nobody saw that coming. Nobody. I think everybody from the Cleveland point of view hoped they'd go into Boston and certainly give a better acquitting of themselves than they had recently against the other two top teams they played, Oklahoma City and Houston, and they just got their doors blown off by each of those teams. And instead, they went into Boston on Paul Pierce Day and torched the Celtics. I mean, you get beyond the first quarter, and it was no contest. No contest.
121-99, David Glazier, was the final score.
And it wasn't that close. You know, and it wasn't that close. I mean, it got up as high as 29 points at one point. And, you know, and the four new guys not only played well, they played really well. I wrote that it transformed the season. Because now, and I think it transformed, you mentioned LeBron James. I think it transformed LeBron James. I'm a big believer in LeBron James' body language, and his body language in that game was better than it's been since early December.
I got to tell you what, I'm a big believer in body language myself. I'm an expert at reading benches, especially in the hockey world, during and in the middle and before games. I've always been pretty good at that. You mentioned the guys. Clarkson had 17, Hood 15, Hill had 12, Larry Nance Jr. had 5. I guess my point, and correct me if I'm wrong here, and this comes from somebody 100 miles to the west, but I kept on hearing these sound bites from LeBron James. Hey, I don't have anything to do with that. I just got to show up and be ready to play. And, you know, that's management's job. That's not my decision. I heard all this stuff for a week, and I guess what irritated me was I've always got the impression, and I think it's halfway valid anyways, that he was in the middle of everything that went on there in Cleveland.
I don't think he was in the middle. You know what? I thought the dynamic that really went south was Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder, who had come over from Boston in the much-discussed Kyrie Irving trade, a trade that Kyrie Irving forced, a trade that at first was judged to be a good one for the Cavs, based just on the surface, because not only did they get Crowder, they got a first-round draft pick from from Brooklyn and unprotected and certain to be a top seven pick. Theoretically, could even turn out to be the first overall pick in the draft because of the lottery. And everybody thought Crowder would be a great fit, tough guy. And when he got back, they said Thomas will be, just the guy that LeBron needs. 20-point a game. Last year, 28.5 a game. Fourth in the MVP voting, who'll give him the kind of 1-2 punch that they had, 1-2-3 punch that they had when you had LeBron, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love. But it never happened for IT here. It just never happened. And I thought, based on what I've heard, that the problem started mostly with IT and that he just never was a good fit chemistry-wise with this group of players, especially not so much when he was hurt and on the sideline, when he seemed to be getting along okay with everyone. Once he started practicing and playing, and it was clear that he and LeBron weren't a good fit together, that he kind of turned a little sour. There was the team meeting a couple Mondays ago where they called out Kevin Love after the OKC game blowout in Cleveland loss, where he left about 4 minutes deep into the game because he was feeling nauseous and went home and then missed practice the next day. And they had a team meeting that was not terribly upbeat, and supposedly Dwayne Wade and IT called out Love for what he did. You know, the problem with that is Kevin Love's been a model citizen for the Cavs since he got here. He was a big part of three teams that got to the NBA Finals, a big part of, you know, the championship team in 2016, and a guy, Mike, who was averaging a double-double. I mean, very few players do that in the NBA. And they have two newcomers, two guys who, you know, really outsiders to come in and do that, I think, really poisoned the well. And I believe in the end it was that convinced general manager Kobe Altman that minor changes weren't going to right the ship this season. He had to make big moves. And he did. Now, as good as the game against Boston looked, talk to me in a month.
And again, OKC again tomorrow on the road,
right,
Tuesday night. Hey, yeah, let's stay in basketball for a moment here. Let's go up north,
sure,
about 45 miles from here. It started out pretty good. This Pistons won 5 straight, 4 straight with Blake Griffin in the lineup. Now they've lost 2 consecutive games as Piston team. First blush, what did you think of the trade with Blake Griffin going to the Pistons?
I thought they lost a couple of players who, you know, had done awfully well for them. Now, you get Blake Griffin, and as long as he's healthy, and that's a big if with him, he's a huge positive. And it's certainly based on the first couple games, you know, you're thinking, wow. I think all year the Pistons have been an enigmatic team. And to me, it's disturbing to watch games in the new downtown arena. I mean, even the first game when Griffith was there, where are the fans?
Right.
Had the fans just checked out? Or, I mean, that, you know, when they were at the Palace at Auburn Hills, that was one of the best franchises in the league, Detroit basketball. And now, I mean, I'm not close enough to the situation. There's some theories about why the fans have tuned out and stayed away. It's not a bad team. But I don't see it happening for that team this year, even with Blake Griffin.
You know what, David? Even with the Red Wings, the same thing. There's something going on there, and the folks from Olympia Entertainment, you know, have not gone public. They've said a lot of things. People are up in the bars and up in the restaurants. You kind of bought that for the first couple of weeks, but that certainly hasn't been the case. Hey, before I let you go, I was looking at the draft board the other day for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
And holy smokes. If they can do things right, I'm as old as, you might have me by a couple years, or I might have you by a couple years, but I don't ever remember, and my memory isn't as good as it used to be, but looking at a team that's stacked in the fashion the Browns are stacked now in this draft, and if they can do something right, boy, they can make some inroads pretty quick here.
Well, there's a lot of mixed signals going out there, and you know everybody kind of throws up smoke screens at draft time. I still think they're going to take Saquon Barkley with the first overall pick, and I think they're going to take the best quarterback still on the board with the 4th pick. Now, there's a lot of talk about them being in play for a veteran quarterback to be a bridge quarterback. I still think it'd be a mistake to give up on DeShone Kizer, but you heard it here first, Mike. You could tell the fans up in the Toledo area that guy Glazier from Cleveland had it right. I think Saquon Barkley is the first overall pick in the draft.
Enough said, David. Thanks for coming on. Great hearing your voice. We'll talk down the road, I'm sure.
Anytime.
David Glazier, News Herald out of Cleveland, kind of putting the pieces together on this Cleveland Browns remake, redo, and again the likes of Clarkson and Hood and Hill and Nance. And the first thing he said was they look a lot younger surrounding LeBron James, and I still wasn't big in all these quotes. I don't know anything. What do you mean? That's not my job. Come on. Maybe not this case, but it's been your whole career any place that you've been, which isn't uncommon for the best player in the team and certainly probably the best player on the planet. But don't act like you've never been involved in management's decision. Not up front, not honest with that assessment. All right, TAS Electronics update right around the corner here. TAS Electronics. Boy, you didn't beat the winter rush, but Northwest Ohio's best-selling remote car starter is at TAS Electronics, installed from just $129. Also, heated seats available over there. What a great time. I use mine all the time. Did a hockey game Saturday in Canada, got out of that arena into my car, cranked that up. The heated seat on, I'm telling you, and believe me, the older you get, you like that as well. Just put me in the mood to have a nice drive home, put a little music on, and felt like I was in the Lazy Boy of the living room. Just heated seats, remote car starters. Look outside. You need them. Get them at TAS. Updates with Jim after this.
ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time. Auto Show specials continue, courtesy of the Low Payment King right here at the Monroe Superstore.com. Quick credit approvals, by the way. The Superstore. We're in the showroom tonight, back at the mothership. Glad to have you on board, everybody. Talk some Cleveland sports in the first half hour of the show tonight. David Glazier joined us. Talked a little Cavs. Talked about that. Boy, that full draft board for the Cleveland Browns coming up. Saquon Barkley is the guy he believes is going to the Cleveland Browns. Baseball coming up, of course, on Wednesday. I talked about watching, this morning DVR recorded Pebble Beach, the final down the stretch there, looking out the showroom here. Nothing but snow and ice. Can't wait for things to warm up just a little bit. Speaking of warming up, how about the Michigan Wolverines in Madison? Of course, on Sunday, they win it and win it big, 83-72. And a man that knows a lot about Michigan Wolverine sports from the Wolverine, John Borton, joins us. Hello, John. How are you?
Doing great, Mike. Good to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time. I needed a little bit of a Michigan update here for our listeners, by the way. Quite a performance in front of 18,000 fans in Madison. Never an easy place to play basketball for the visitor. And all of a sudden they come in, and Wagner had a big game, and Duncan Robinson as well. And they walk out of Wisconsin with an 11-point win.
Yeah, what they showed you is what they're capable of when they're hitting their shots and they really have it going. I mean, this isn't vintage Wisconsin by any means. They've got an under 500 record. But the fact of the matter is it was in the Kohl Center, which has just been a nightmare, not just for Michigan, but for anybody to win, to go up there and come away with a win. So, it is just, a very good win for Michigan. You put it, together with a couple other road wins they've had, like Michigan State, and they've got, they've done some good things on the road, but it just shows you when you've got Duncan Robinson hitting shots and you got Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman penetrating and doing some good things, and Mo Wagner, he does what he does. He's been very consistent with it, but they build a 25-point lead now. All of a sudden, Wisconsin's hitting shots in the second half, and they made it a little uncomfortable at times. But Michigan, that's a very good win for them to get on the books. They're 20th of the season, and they really look like they're solidly moving towards that NCAA berth.
Well, you mentioned the Kohl Center. Michigan and other teams, of course, John, have struggled there. Michigan winning just for the second time since 2000, and that was a 77-70 win over the Badgers, and that was back in 2014. They were number three at the time, by the way. Iowa comes in, home game for the Wolverines on Wednesday night. I guess I'll ask you this way, the win over Wisconsin. John Beilein, I guess, knows a little bit about momentum. The guy that doesn't like it was Jim Leland. It's only as good as your starting pitcher the next day. How do you think he feels about that win catapulting into a good effort on Wednesday? And does he believe in the Big Mo?
Yeah, I don't think he would put a lot of stock in that. It'll be one of those deals where, hey, we got to come out and win another game. And it's certainly a game that I think Michigan should win. They've got Iowa at home, Iowa not having a great year, Michigan at home, they're playing pretty well, and it's really a game that is I would kind of put it in the must-win category, because if you don't, you run the risk of taking an offer on your own court during the week, because they've got Senior Day coming up on Sunday, they've got Ohio State coming in, obviously the Buckeyes are very good this year. You know, you don't want to go into that game needing a split for the week on your own court.
Well, John Beilein now, 11 seasons at Michigan. He's won 20 games. Eight of those 11 games right now, they're 9-5 in the Big Ten. And as you mentioned, the story, I think, of the year, the Big Ten this year, the Ohio State Buckeyes at 13-1. Hey, Little Caesars Arena over the weekend, the University of Michigan, the duel in the D. They get a 3-2 win over Michigan State University, a 1-1 shootout the previous night over in East Lansing under Mel Pearson's guidance. A pretty good weekend for the Wolverines.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And Mel trying to obviously make a statement in his first year. You get a win over Michigan State anytime, and it's one of those deals where you feel good about it. That's something that pumps everybody up. Michigan, you know, struggling along right now in terms of overall record. They're just hovering around the 500 mark. I think everybody will give Mel plenty of time to, you know, really put his program into place and get things going. But there's no doubt a weekend like that has everybody feeling better.
Well, I'll tell you what, you better get ready. A big weekend coming up. A home and home with the number one team ranked in college hockey. That's Notre Dame on the weekend as well. Let's switch to football. Somebody told me walking into the Superstore today that the University of Michigan's top pick, these are rankings, this isn't what happens on the field, Michigan's top pick would have been out of the top dozen when it comes to ranking for the Buckeyes. Tell me about that, John. How do you view it?
Well, I think there was some disappointment on some big misses at the end. You know, they had some guys that they were looking at, and one, actually, you notice Reese, who was committed for, I believe it was 18 months before he flipped late. And the particular kid that from down south, and he, Michigan had a lot of hopes for him, and put a lot of effort into getting him, in. He's a big offensive tackle, and obviously, Michigan is lacking in that area. They wanted somebody that could give them some instant help. You not only lose them, but you lose them to Ohio State, hidden to Ohio State. And that's, you know, that's a gut punch for Michigan fans. This, I would say there's a lot of talent in this class, but it is maybe not as much immediate impact as classes that we have seen in the first, the last couple of years under Jim Harbaugh. It wasn't going to be as big a class, just numbers wise, because of the numbers that they were looking at. But they've got some talented guys in the class, and some guys that will develop over time. I think there's no doubt, though, that Michigan is hoping for better results, not only on the field, but hoping that that translates into getting off to a very good recruiting class as well, something that puts them back up into the top 10 generally in the rankings.
Well, I've read or heard it said, if it doesn't work under Harbaugh at the University of Michigan, you wonder how it's going to work. So we've got a close eye on that. I don't think Michigan can go through another 8-5 season. I mean, if they do, I got to tell you, I think you're going to hear a lot of squawking. I'm hearing it already from Michigan fans. John, what is the latest update on Shea Patterson?
Well, I mean, still wait and see. I mean, we should know.
I mean, what are you thinking? What are you hearing? I mean, is there
come out? Well,
yeah,
there are a lot of schools putting a lot into evidence that not just Shea Patterson, but these other guys that went to Mississippi were misled in terms of the severity of how the NCAA was going to come down on the school. And making the case that, look, they ought to be eligible to play right away. And that's just huge for Michigan in this situation, because here's a guy that with 2 years under his belt in the SEC, somebody that has the mobility that you want, has the experience that you want, and could potentially step right in with Michigan's offense. And along with some changes that are being made, you know, in terms of scheme and all, that a lot of that's still up in the air. But the type of kid that could really come in and lead a turnaround. You've got a defense in place that's going to be very, very good after you really changed over the entire personnel of that defense this past year. Defense will be in place. You've got to have an offense that scores points, because Michigan was very, very disappointing on offense this past year. And that means, you know, it starts behind center. They went through a lot of quarterbacks last year with the injuries and all, but they didn't get top to bottom the effectiveness that they wanted, and I think it would be wide open for a Shea Patterson to come in here and make a strong bid to take charge and lead a much better offense than we saw last season.
John, good stuff as always. If I open up thewolverine.com right now, and I probably would, except I'm having a tough time with my phone right now, what would I be looking at?
Oh, you'd be looking at all kinds of recruiting breakdowns, talking to opposing coaches on some of the new guys coming in, what they saw and facing them. We've got hockey that we touched on. You know, you're talking about we're all over the basketball story. That's the big thing right now, I think, that Michigan fans are focused on, because you got Michigan steaming towards the NCAA tournament. But football is never far away, and so we're already talking about next year's recruiting class and the coaching changes that could be taking place.
Well, if you're in Toledo, you're probably stuck in traffic, John. So give me a little shout here how you get thewolverine.com or the hard copy as well.
Anybody that wants to get on thewolverine.com, just go to that website, thewolverine.com. There's a lot of free information, but there is also, if you subscribe, you're going to get a lot of inside stuff on the Wolverines through various means, and you'll tap into all our experts that talk both on podcasts and in the printed section to access the Wolverine magazine on a monthly basis, which is still very popular with lots of people. There's an 800 number. You can call 800-421-7751 and tell them that you want to be fixed up with the Wolverine magazine.
We will remind him, John. Great hearing your voice. Thanks for the update and appreciate your contribution as always.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, Mike, as always.
John Morton, thewolverine.com. This is Drive Time, coming to you for the Mothership, the Superstore. Back with more after this timeout.